Welcome everyone to the meeting of the WBAI Local Station Board's Local Finance Committee. And my name is R. Paul Martin. I'm the WBAI LSB Treasurer. Doing two things at once. And what we're going to do right now is we're going to do a roll call to officially make sure that we have a a quorum. So please answer up when you hear your name. Jack DePalma.
Yes, sir.
Okay. William Heerwagen.
Present for February 16th.
John Hoffman.
February 2.
Present.
Noel Jameson.
Present.
Pat Logan. R. Paul Martin here. Mario Mastrandrea. Matt Mazza. Carolyn McIntyre.
Here.
Bertold Reimers. Doreen Roberts. James Sagerton.
Here.
Jeffrey Stern. Neil Voss.
Here.
Michael D.D. White.
Here.
Okay, that's nine, and that is a quorum, and so we have our quorum. The first thing we have to do right now is adopt an agenda. So, one second. All right. I move that we adopt the following agenda. One, call to order 7 p.m. Two, approval of agenda 20 minutes. Three, identify timekeeper 2 minutes. Four, excused absences, 5 minutes. Five, election of committee secretary, 5 minutes. Six, treasurer's report, 15 minutes. Seven, general manager's report on WBAI's finances, 30 minutes. Eight, set next meeting date, 5 minutes. Nine, new business. 10, adjourn no later than 9:30 p.m. Okay, that motion is on the floor. Is there any debate or discussion or amendment to it or anything else? Okay, I don't hear anybody piping up on that. So what we can do, is there any objection to going to a vote on approving the agenda? Hearing none, is there any objection to adopting the agenda as read? Hearing none. That's our agenda for tonight. Okay. The next thing to do is we need to identify a timekeeper. Who would like to be the timekeeper for this meeting? I know Jeffrey Stern usually does it, but I don't think he's on the call right now. Okay.
I'll get my timer up, Paul.
Okay, Jack DePalma.
Yeah, tell me your time when you set up the moments, meaning, 10 minutes for this and 5 minutes for that. I don't write it down or remember these things, but I have the timer.
Okay, 1 second. Any objection to Jack DePalma being the timekeeper for the meeting? Hearing none, he can do it. Okay, so that goes through that. Next, we have excuse absences for 5 minutes. Okay. unfortunately, we haven't gotten any anything in email about excused absences. And somebody was saying that Pat Logan wanted an excused absence for this meeting.
Well, I don't know if she wants one, but I'd like to give her one. I believe Pat is in the hospital.
Oh.
And so I'm not sure if she can attend a meeting. And so on that basis, I'd like to give her an excused absence.
Oh, my. Okay, hold on 1 second here. Let me bring up something. Okay. Okay, so So basically, it's required that the person email us ahead of time.
Well, I don't know if she has that capability.
I know. She doesn't have email. This is a big problem. Okay, well, what we'll have to do is, you know, we can bring this to the next LSB meeting. And, you know, we've had this before where people have, for whatever reason, needed to not be at the meeting. And what we've done is we've had to bring it to the LSB because the LSB passed a motion some years ago that said you have got to do it ahead of time before the meeting via email. And, you know, she hasn't done it, so we are going to have to just mark her absent if she isn't here. I would hope maybe she can show up before the end of this. And then we'll have to bring it to the LSB. That's all I can think about. All right?
Okay, R. Paul, so you'll bring it to the LSB?
I will bring this to the how about this? How about we make a motion? I move that we recommend that the LSB excuse the absence of Pat Logan for the time that she's in the hospital.
Second. All right, Paul, this is James. Can I be recognized?
One second. Okay. Well, let me get... okay, I'm typing. You probably all heard the pitter-patter of my keys there. That the motion would be that the LSB excuse the absence of Pat Logan from the local finance committee meetings. Their meetings. For the time that she's in the hospital. Okay. And James Sagerton, you had something to say, yes.
Yeah, I just wanted to report that I spoke to Pat's medical proxy today, and he confirmed that she is unable to communicate. She's not in a critical condition, but she is unable to communicate at this time, and she is in the hospital, and it's unclear when she will be getting out. Just for purposes of verification, doesn't really change the motion.
All right. Well, thank you. I'll point out we've done this before. One of our members years ago, around this time of year, slipped on the ice and ended up in the hospital, and we brought it to the LSB because he'd missed a couple of meetings and he couldn't you know, get on there to do email. And so we excused him via the LSB. Unfortunately, he never returned. I'm not sure how that worked out. We'll hope that, we'll bring this to the next LSB meeting, and we will at that point in time, get her, I assume. I think this will pass easily, as it usually does. And, you know, we'll just hope that Pat can show up again real soon. Okay. And since there are no other requested excused absences, then we're done with this particular part of the meeting. Hold on a second.
That's time.
And now, okay, good. And now we are starting election of committee secretary, 5 minutes starting now. Okay. Are there any secretary of the committee would basically write minutes and bring them to the committee and stuff like that. So are there any nominations for secretary of the WBAI Local Finance Committee? Any nominations?
Questions.
Yeah.
Does the person have to be a current member?
Oh, that's a question. Well, they wouldn't. I guess they don't have to be. But, you know, I don't know. I will point out we haven't had a secretary of this committee for more than a decade. So there's that. I would guess they wouldn't have to be a member, although if they became secretary, they wouldn't become a voting member by being secretary. They would have to still attend three meetings in a row and all that noise. So I'll just ask, are there any nominations for secretary?
I'll nominate Kay Williams if she'll accept.
Well, yeah, I plan to attend every meeting unless I slip on the ice or something.
Oh, I understand.
I'm pretty good at taking notes. Do you want me to start tonight or?
Well, we haven't had an election yet, so hold on.
Huh.
We're not done with nominations. See, what usually happens here is we all laugh about it and nobody nominates anybody, but we got a nomination. Okay, we'll see how it works out. I have a feeling you probably are not going to face a lot of opposition for this big office. Are there any other nominations? Okay, and that was the third or fourth time, and we've had only one nomination. So what I will do, I move to close nominations. And one second. Okay, I move to close nominations. Is there any objection to closing nominations at this time? Hearing none. Nominations are closed. Your name is Kay Williams?
Well, that's my nickname. My membership in WBAI is in my official legal name, which is Matilda. But so when I ran for the station board, I was M period K-A-Y, so they could look it up if they had to. But most people just call me K.
M.K. Williams, okay.
Okay, you could say M.K., that way it's all official.
Yeah. I'm writing it down here. Okay. I would say, let's see, how do we do this? I'm trying to remember how we do this when there's only one nominee in a committee. And is there any objection to M.K. Williams being secretary of the local finance committee? Hearing none, I think that you are now secretary by acclamation. And yes, you may start writing stuff down.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you. All right, and the next item on the agenda is a treasurer's report.
Bye-bye, honey.
And one second, please. I have to do little things during this, so now and again... So now and again, we end up with me pausing everything for a second, and that just happens. All right. And here's the treasurer's report. And
20 minutes.
The treasurer's report is for 15 minutes, and we can start it now. And I have 1923. Okay. Where is it? It's here. All right, the National Finance Committee, the NFC, has been busy with budgets for the past couple of months, really, and budgets are going to continue to be a major focus of the committee for the next month or two, I think. Pardon me. At the February 8th NFC meeting, there was no new news on the status of Pacifica's application for the Small Business Administration's Economic Disaster Injury Loan, the EIDL, And we don't know if it's been approved, and no funds have been deposited in Pacifica's bank account, as far as I know. Pacifica has applied for an additional $1.5 million of loan from last year. And then the CFO was hoping that Pacifica would get the money in 3 to 4 weeks. And, well, that hasn't happened yet. There are a lot of delays associated with this process, and Pacifica may still get that loan, but, you know, it's a bureaucracy, and the Small Business Administration apparently isn't really set up to handle the volume of business they're getting. So we'll see what happens in the next number of weeks. And Pacifica has a new executive director, a real executive director, not an interim. And the new executive director of Pacifica is Stephanie D. Wells, and she's been attending the National Finance Committee meetings. She's been working with the new interim CFO, Julia Kennard, who is also the controller of the National Education Telecommunications Association, which we call NETA, which handles the accounting for Pacifica. And the interim CFO and the executive director have withdrawn some draft FY22 budgets from consideration, including BAIs, because they need further review. And so we may be seeing these budgets in the next little while here. We still have these budgets to do. Pacifica has applied to join the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the CPB. And at the January 25th National Finance Committee meeting, the Pacifica CPB compliance officer, Otis McLay, talked about the qualifications Pacifica has to meet in order to be accepted for CPB membership. And since Pacifica is caught up on its audits, and it looks like we'll get the FY21 audit posted on time, he emphasized the importance of giving proper notice of meetings. So we've got to really do that right now. Some stations have been not doing it quite right, and that could be a problem. And also doing things like holding executive session meetings when there's nothing confidential being discussed at the meeting is something that needs to be avoided. And he told us there's no telling how far back the CPB might look for compliance on these issues. If we're lucky, they'll only look at Pacifica's behavior for the next year, which is what we have to behave in. We'll be considered for the year, and we gotta shape up and be okay for that year, and then we're really in. And then we may get some grants from the CPB, which we used to get all the time routinely. And, of course, since we didn't have audits for years and years, and we got kicked out of the CPB, you know, we didn't get the money. Lost a lot of money that way. The interim CFO has issued a monthly income statement for the first quarter of FY22. The NFC gave clearance to post this document publicly with the caution that the December 2021 financials are unaudited and preliminary. And although they were approved for release to the general public, there could still be errors in the numbers. I posted that spreadsheet to the committee's mailing list on February 9th. And in the first quarter, Pacifica was only about $24,000 in the black, which is about $293,000 worse than it was a year ago. WBAI is running a deficit of about $102,000 for the first quarter, and of course that's not good. In December, WBAI was running our intensive on-air fundraiser for the Emergency Tower Fund, so money was coming in from those efforts, but still the deficit increased through December. And there's been a lot of talk about BAI not paying its central services fees. WBAI isn't the only station in financial trouble. At the February 8th NFC meeting, the KPFK treasurer said that the KPFK general manager had submitted a draft FY22 budget that projected about a $1 million deficit. If that deficit is realized, I don't know how Pacifica can handle it. And the station LSBs have voted to amend the Pacifica Foundation Certificate of Incorporation tax exemption language, which was a big deal, important thing we had to do to maintain tax exemption and make sure that we don't get taxed on property, real estate, and stuff in California. Pardon me. And so we all did that, and that's covered. The next National Finance Committee meeting is scheduled for Tuesday, February 22nd, 2022, at 8:30 p.m. Eastern. And, of course, it'll be held by teleconference just as this meeting is being held. And that is the Treasurer's Report. And before we have any questions or anything, I need to say at this point, I think that we, by the rules of everything, by the rules of all the stuff we got to go by, we are, people can attend these meetings without identifying themselves. So you don't have to identify yourself at all. But if you're, if you would like to become a member of the meeting, you do have to identify yourself. And to become a member, you have to attend three meetings in a row. And so there's that. And say you want to be a member. Sometimes we get people attend three meetings in a row, and we say, "Well, you can be a member now." And they say, "I don't want to be." So I don't know. It's up to people. Anyway, so at this time, if you don't want to become a member, you don't need to identify yourself at all. If you would like to become a member, please say you're here and tell me your name. I do have M.K. Williams. Anybody else?
Daryl McPherson.
Okay.
So that's D-A-R-R-Y-L.
Yeah, I know how to spell it. Anybody else? Anybody else? Okay, I will ask again later if there are any people who want to become members. And right now, let me make a fast review of actual members. Is Mario Mastrandrea here? Is Matt Mazza here? Is Bertold Reimers here?
Yeah.
You're here. Serene Roberts here. Replies Jeffrey Stern here. Okay. All right. So now we've done a little membership stuff. Are there any questions or anything regarding the Treasurer's Report?
Jack DeBalma's question.
Okay. Go ahead, Jack.
Yeah, you had mentioned Netta and the CFO of Netta. Are we a large part of Netta? Or are we just like, you know, another public television or public radio a part of Netta? Because
we are
Netta
clients.
Already... No, I understand.
We are clients.
Are we half their client? Are we one-third, one-tenth?
Oh, I don't know what the percentage is, but I strongly suspect that they've got a lot of different radio and TV stations that deal with them. Although they're devoting a whole lot of time to us. So, yeah, they handle our accounting, and you know, and I don't know how big their business is.
They saved us; otherwise, we wouldn't be having these audits done. I believe 5 years ago, 6 years ago.
I think you're right. Yeah. Okay. Any other questions for the Treasurer's Report?
You mentioned that.
Well, hold on. Let's get some names before. Did I hear James Sagerton? And who's the other person?
Kay Williams.
Okay. Okay. Anybody else? We'll make a stack. I have James Sagerton and M.K. Williams. Anybody else? Okay, that's our short stack for the moment. James, go ahead. You're first.
Yeah, Arpal, forgive me if I'm misquoting, but I thought I heard you say that we have applied for the CPB community service grants and other grants.
No, we're applying.
We are going to apply. That's correct.
Yeah, May.
The application date is in April.
It's in April now?
Yeah.
It was in May last year. Okay, whatever. Sometime soon, we're going to actually apply and hope that we can comply with the rules for a year and get in and maybe get some dough. Good luck for us. Okay. M.K. Williams, yes.
You had mentioned the name of the interim CFO. Was she Julia somebody? What was her last name?
Julia Kennard, K-E-N-N-A-R-D. She's
the CFO of Pacifica or of
no.
this
NPA? Ms. Kennard is the, let me go, God, stuff falls out of my brain sometimes now. She's the controller. She's the controller of NETA. And that's an official title.
You
called
her the interim CFO. Does that mean she's
no.
also...
Oh, yeah, she's also the interim CFO, yeah.
Of Pacifica?
Of Pacifica.
Of Pacifica, okay.
So what happened was we had CFOs. They then we got through them, which was an interesting time. And then we didn't have any for a while. We needed some, and NETA was hired. And I believe it was the PNB that decided the thing we need to do is make somebody from NETA our interim CFO. And so they did that, and that the first person from NETA who was our interim CFO was Anita Sims. She's an executive vice president there, and she's leaving. She's retiring soon. So she's handed that off, and the PNB approved that Julia Kennard, who's the controller of NETA, would become Pacifica's new interim CFO. By doing this, this gives the that person, who's the interim CFO, the authority of and basically management in Pacifica, and they get to call up stations and ask general managers and business managers where the money is and what they've been doing, and they're not supposed to be able to be told it's none of your business, get lost. So they have legal standing to ask questions and look at stuff. So that's what's happening there. Okay. Are there any
other question?
Yeah, go ahead.
You said the CPB compliance officer was somebody, McLeod? How do I spell
Otis.
That
Otis McClay, who also runs kpftx.org. And you can look at that, and you can see all the meetings set up there. And also on kpftx.org, he has a direct link to the Corporation for Public Broadcasting's rules regarding some of this stuff. So you can go there and look at all the rules we got to comply with. Well, some of the rules we have to comply with. Okay?
Okay.
All right. Are there any other questions on the treasurer's report?
Yeah, Jim to the back.
Okay. Jim Dingman is here. Okay. Let's see. Okay, Jim Dingman, go ahead.
Well, I'm sort of curious. Where did you find out that they're going to apply for the CPB money? And the reason I mentioned that is that, we had a meeting about 2 weeks ago. We brought in people from around the country, recorded it. So it was a meeting going through the community service grant regulations. And my impression is that A does not have a cab, K does not have a cab. They're not even, and we're 8 weeks away from this. So that's the first question. I mean, maybe you have some news that I haven't heard of. And secondly, in one of your emails in another situation, you described the 2015 basically reprieve of several million dollars worth of money that we owed for the central services spending. And I was wondering if at some point, not now, but you could go into excruciating detail as to how far back that goes.
Oh, the excruciating detail. Okay, this is off the top of my head. I'm not looking at it, but as I remember, it starts out with FY16, which means October 1st, 2015. I believe that's when that happened. So
yeah, but your numbers say 4 million, and when you look at that total,
yeah.
I think it was 1 point something million. So I'm trying to figure out how far back that goes in terms of...
Oh, how far back that goes.
Paid.
Many years.
Like
it,
what,
it went back years and years and years.
All right. You know why we need that? Because I'm pretty sure it's going to be thrown in our faces pretty soon at the PNB level, I'm pretty sure. So I need to have a better idea of what the hell is going on with that. And then the CPB issue.
Okay, the timekeeper says time is up. Are there any other questions? Do we need to extend this item, or do we move on to the next item?
Well, you didn't answer the question about the CPB issue.
Well, all right, so do you want to move? Do you want to extend the time?
Sure. 3 minutes.
Okay, hold on. Motion is to extend the time for this item by 3 minutes. Is there any objection to that extension? Seeing none, we're extended. And Mr. Timekeeper, I make it 1939, and Jim Dingman, go ahead again.
All right, so tell me what you know at this point about the CPB issue.
Oh, God. In 3 minutes.
No, you're saying that they're going to reapply. That's the first I heard of that, but anyway.
Oh, okay. Yes. They're trying to get the ducks in a row, and they're...
Who?
Oh, let's see. You want me to go look that up right now? Let's get it.
Just maybe later. All right.
Try it later. Who? Basically, Pacifica is, and I believe that the new executive director is, you know, a part of that. And that's what I'm thinking there. I would have to look it up, and
right.
You know, I don't know if we can do that in 3 minutes.
All right. Let me explain what I understand at this point.
Okay.
First of all, the only stations that can probably get the money under these formulas they have are PFW and KPFA. KPFK, KPFT, and probably WDAI, although I could be wrong, are too low in their Nielsen ratings to get money. So, this is a revolving situation, so what the hell? I just throw that in the mix.
Okay.
Thank you.
Let me say this. As reported in a treasurer's report last year, yes, those are the two that they figure will make it. The others are iffy at best. Okay?
All right. Thank you, Paul.
All right. Is there anything, any other questions or anything on the treasurer's report?
Yes.
Okay. I need a name. Who's saying what?
Bertolt,
go ahead.
And James also, please.
Okay, and then Sagerton after that, if we have time. Go ahead, Bertolt, what?
When I started as general manager, we had a surplus. We did not owe the national office a penny during my time at Treasurer until y'all got rid of Tony Bates. And until we lost the CPB money. The CPD money went directly to the national office as a big chunk, and that big chunk of money, they took it, and then they paid central service, and they paid specifically with the office. So WBI, whatever deficit WBI has, the national office started after the national office messed up and did not apply for CPD money because they didn't do the financial.
Okay.
I don't remember what those dates are. And I don't know, maybe if our Paul remembers, before I took over, if there were a deficit. But while I was there, I am certain there were no deficit during that time when we got CPD money.
Okay. James Sagerton, go ahead.
Paul, your time's up. I move to extend another 3 minutes.
Okay, 1 second. Okay, so the motion is to extend 3 minutes. God, I'm not good at typing fast. Okay. Motions to extend the time for 3 minutes. Is there any objection to that? Hearing none, we're extended for 3 minutes. And it's 1943, and James Sackerton, go ahead.
Thank you. Excuse me. First, on the question of NETA, I just wanted to clarify that Julie Kennard is a senior controller there. She's not the senior controller or the controller. She's a senior controller. She is the person who all along has had her hands on the Pacifica account. She's the one who, you know, day in and day out is handling the Pacifica account. And so it was a logical decision to move from Anita when Anita decided to retire. It was a logical decision to move to Julia as our CFO. And a further clarification, on February 1st, she began as our actual quote-unquote permanent CFO, meaning that she's not an interim. We made her the actual CFO. So she is Pacifica's CFO. She also works as a senior controller for NETA, where she does Pacifica's books and accounting. NETA also does our payroll. They do our human resources, and they are a full-service media consulting firm, and they advise us on media in general. They can also help us apply for CPB. My hope is it will get somebody at Netta who does that for their other clients and helps us with that. And the new executive director is focusing on that and is counting on moving forward and making that application. Whether or not we can get, as our Paul says, our ducks in a row in time and consistently keep them that way, we're supposed to do a year of perfect performance to get back into the program. We are now applying as a new applicant. We were a member of the program before. We got our grants got suspended, and then we were kicked out of the program. So now we're actually trying to come back as a new applicant, and we have to really, really gear up and fortify our performance in order to make that perfect compliance happen. Theoretically, that would begin after our application. It takes a year. So sometime in April or May of 2023, we may begin to see some eligibility for grants. And one other thing about NETA, and that would be that they have many clients, mostly in radio, but they are the National Educational Telecommunications Association. They are the premier financial advisor for public and nonprofit kinds of broadcasting companies or foundations such as ourselves. They are a nonprofit as we are, and we are their biggest client. We are their biggest client.
Oh.
So that's important to know in terms of when we don't pay them, it's a problem for them. So that's why I hope we can keep up with our payments to them.
Okay, your time.
Okay, time has been called. And
we should extend 5 minutes for a question for the GM and the treasurer.
Okay, the general manager's report is coming up. This is the treasurer's report.
Okay, I have a question for the treasurer.
Okay, and this is...
Do we extend time? Isn't it Serene Roberts? Yes.
Okay, so...
Do we have to extend time, Paul? Time is up.
Yes, I know we have to extend time. Give me a second. All right, so the motion to extend by 5 minutes. Okay, the motion is to extend the time for the treasurer's report by 5 minutes. Is there any objection to that motion? Hearing none, that motion is passed, and Mr. Timekeeper, I make it 1948. Go ahead, Serene Roberts.
Okay, so I just heard the statement that Julie Kennard was hired as CFO, not as interim CFO. and I'm wondering when and where that job was posted.
I certainly don't know. I didn't hire anybody.
You don't know. And
anybody else know?
Okay. So there's a hiring freeze.
Is it Zach?
I'm sorry. Let me finish my question.
We asked a question just now, if anybody knows, and that's what's open. Not a stack at this point. We'll take a stack in a second, I guess. Anyway, so nobody seems to have an answer for whether that was posted or what.
Okay.
There was another part of that question?
More on hiring. Leonard Lopate, who was hired without a job posting, and his then producer was hired without a job posting. His new producer has been hired also without a job posting. I know that there's a process, since there is a hiring freeze, there's a process where for hires to happen within the network, even stations that actually have the money to pay their staff and are not owing anyone, like KPFA recently made a couple of hires, even they have to go to the PNB to get permission to make a hire. So I'm wondering if I could get the dates when the WBAI hires, both for that What's Going On 7 a.m. strip and the Leonard Lopate producer replacement that occurred earlier this month or late last month. Can I get the dates when those, first of all, where those jobs were posted and the dates that the PNB gave authorization for those hires, please? Thanks.
Well, the treasurer certainly doesn't know. Anybody else want to jump in here, or do we want to wait for this question to come up in the general manager's report? Okay, nobody else seems to have an answer either.
Can I ask a question of information, Arpal?
Dr. Palma, go ahead.
Ms. Kennard works for NEDA, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so therefore we don't hire her, right? She's just like a third party that oversees our finances, and we didn't really hire that person or rehire a different person that was already a CFO or already a financial advisor, right?
I am not on the PNB. The PNB the hire, and we've just been informed that she is the CFO, not the interim CFO. I had thought she was the another interim. Basically, I can't answer the question about how this stuff got done. If anybody else can, they can say so here.
It strikes me that the question that was asked is irrelevant to our committee, to our job. And we don't know, and we don't answer that question, and it's not necessarily germane to what's going on during a financial meeting. It's germane to somebody else.
So I don't hear anybody else with an answer to the question, so I think the question
is
just going to go unanswered at this time.
This is Serene. Can you hear me? Hello?
Serene Roberts, you want more? What's happening?
I wanted to help Mr. DePalma. Money to pay the CFO comes out of one of the, I think, three contracts that Pacifica has with NEDA. The CFO is a different CFO or ICFO. It's a separate contract. So all stations contribute to central services, which is where the money comes from. So, yes, it does matter. It is not an umbrella contract that says we give NEDA X amount and they can divvy it up however they want, just for your information.
Okay, is there anything further on the treasurer's report?
Yes, Jim to the stack.
Hey, Jim Dimon, go ahead.
All right, I want to let everybody know that we conducted, as I mentioned earlier, an excruciating teach-in on the CPB regs that's recorded. And one of the things that we learned in reading it is that the CPB has the power to move beyond the normal hurdles. So Jim was talking earlier about the issue of being on probation for a year. But there is the possibility, and I'm not saying this to throw false hopes out, but there is the possibility that the chairperson of the CPB and their ruling board can decide to put us ahead of the game if they so desire. And, of course, that's a whole other can of worms. But I think that that should be clearly understood. And there's another problem that we discovered in reading the CPB regs. And this relates to all the machinations going on with all these stations who always want to sell BAI. There is a proviso in the regs that say, if you are receiving money from the CPB and you have a sale where you sold assets, you have to reimburse them. And there's a whole formula in there about reimbursement. So that is sort of interesting to discover that in reading the CPB regs in detail 2 weeks ago. And I believe that Bruce Greif recorded it. We can certainly make it available to people. We're going to do another thing this Saturday dealing with the community needs assessment part of the issue. And plus, we're going to have John Amello and Otis McClay talking in greater detail about other little aspects that we need to know in order to get back into the good graces of these guys.
Okay, let me say that Otis McClay, of course, spoke. Okay, I'm making this very fast. Otis McClay spoke to the NFC, and basically the CPB is not pleased with us because some of them actually consider that we committed crimes because we actually kind of, well, we got $137,000 from the CPB years ago and we didn't really qualify for it and we were supposed to pay it back. It took us years and years to pay it back, and that was the major thing that got us kicked out. So I don't know that they like us over there. All right, time has been called. Unless somebody wants
to extend this again.
Is that a motion to extend the treasurer's report again?
Move to extend by 2 minutes.
I object.
Okay, hold on a second. Just had a little problem. 1 second.
Can I speak to my objection?
All right, so the motion is to extend the time for 2 minutes. There's been an objection, and
speak to my
you
objection.
Have to vote on. Somebody's talking over me. What's happening?
Can I speak to my objection?
No. Motion to extend is not debatable. So let's put that in there, and now I'll put in the time in there. Okay, the motion is to extend the time for 2 minutes. Jack DePalma.
No.
William Heerwagen.
Yes.
John Hoffman.
Yes.
Noel Jameson.
Yeah.
That's a yes, I think.
Yep.
Pat Logan, R. Paul Martin, abstain. Mario Mastrandrea. No reply. Matt Mazza. No reply. Carolyn McIntyre.
No.
No. Bertold Reimers.
Dan.
Dane. Serene Roberts.
Yes.
James Sagerton.
No.
Jeffrey Stern. Neil Voss.
Abstain.
Michael D.D. White.
No.
Okay. So that's 4-4, 4 against, 3 abstentions. The motion to extend fails. And so we now go on. Boy, trying to type one-handed is not so good for me. All right, the next item here is is the general manager's report on WBAI's finances. Bertold, go ahead. And this is for 30 minutes, Mr. Timekeeper. Go ahead.
Thank you.
Well, that's in our report, so I'm just waiting for responses.
Last time there was a whole bunch of hoopla about a late report. So I'm waiting for the questions on the reports that were late last time and the reports that I sent yesterday or 2 days ago. I'm ready for questions.
Okay, so you got to just, okay. Let me start. The first one I have is, so you're projecting through the end of January that we're going to be $94,000 in the red, right?
Yes.
Uh-huh. And your, of course, the NETA projection is that through the end of December, we were $102,000 in the red. So I think that your projection is at odds with theirs, even though theirs is for the first 3 months, yours is for the first 4 months of FY22. So you have a conflict there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So that's a conflict, and we also. You know, I don't know. I think that's kind of a bit of a...
My numbers up to December is 42,000.
All right. There's some sort of electronic noise on here. Could somebody stop doing that? So, Bertold, what did you say?
My first quarter is minus 42,000 in QuickBooks. So, just waiting to see where that's coming from. We have 38,000 deficit in October, 46,000 in November, and 42 profit in December. So those 3 months together add up to a deficit of 42,000.
All right. Well, NETA has...
8,000, yes, I heard you.
You gave us figures for every month there. And let's see... Okay, so we have higher figures. We'll just put it that way. We've got significantly higher figures. I guess what will happen is NETA will come out with their own idea of what this is, and I think the rest of Pacifica is going to go with what they say. Also, in your aging accounts payable as of yesterday. Okay, confirm it. Your bottom line is the accounts payable is $1.1 million. It's $1,118,258.
Yeah.
Right? So.
I removed the accrued pension payable that I've been told to remove and that you keep on repeating. So I just removed it from this report completely and from the financials at WBA.
Good.
Yes.
And
asking about why has it gone down is because that's one of the reasons.
Well, the fact is, so we still have $1.1 million owed to the world in general, and okay, so I see that we have, what is Keziah Glow? Is that somebody's name?
Yes, that's
the person.
That's Leonard Lopez, consultant.
Oh, okay. And,
that the Bob Henley, Hannah, Keziah, these things have been paid already. So, like, these are gone from this report.
Okay.
The thing that's different and new is the BMI Music Square. So that's a new bill that we have to pay now. Because of the no CPB thing, and also the NFCB 3875. These are two new bills incurred by WBI because of the CPB thing.
Okay, let me go back to that thing. So, yeah, the BMI Music Square, that's where we pay for putting the music on the internet, or
yeah,
So that's not related to our doing the music on the air, right?
I'm not sure. I have to look at the bill, but this is a bill that just finally came to the national office and they distributed it to all the stations. And so I knew that was coming eventually. It's that. And then there is also the NFCB, which is $3,875. So this is another $8,500 added to our outstanding payable that was not really, that we didn't really, plan for.
Okay. And so, all right. So, the fact that BMI Music Square relates to either one or the other or both of paying for the music we play, and it hasn't been showing up before, and it's $4,600 at this point. Is that a bill? Did we only recently contract with BMI Music Square, or have we not been paying these things, or what? It seems odd to me that we've been out of CPB for years, and there's been talk about how this was going to work with paying for the music, licensing the music for air and for internet, and only now is BMI Music Square showing up with $4,600 as the amount. So I'm really wondering if the $4,600 is paying for years and years of this. What's the time period that $4,600 covers?
It's a brand new bill. It's a bill dated February 2nd, 2022.
Okay, it's a new bill. What's the billing period?
I think it's a quarterly bill. It provides copyright clearance for over 17 million musical works. That's it.
Uh-huh. And so, all right, so this will cover one quarter. What about the many quarters that came in between the time we left CPB and when BMI Music Square started billing us?
I don't know. That would be the national, the CFO. I mean, that was sent to Lydia. Lydia sent it to the CFO, and the CFO sent it to us.
All right. In healthcare, all right, looking at it, what's our situation with this? I see the total is basically $170,000, the healthcare bill back, and so, but I don't see anything from the last 60 days. Does this mean we've been paying it as a regular thing for the past 60 days, so we're not adding in any more debt, or what?
Yes.
Okay. All right, so the thing is, we've been paying our bills lately, but there's still that backlog of $170,000. Okay.
Yes.
Let's see. And so we have $10,000 in one balance and some small stuff in the others at Chase Bank, right?
Yeah.
And you said something about PayPal. There's some couple of $100, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Anybody else have any further questions for the general manager on his reports?
Dr. Palmer, would like to ask a question.
Okay. Now, hold on. Let's get people lined up here. Anybody else? We'll make a stack. Anybody else? Jack DePalma is going to ask a question. Anybody else have a question for the general manager?
I don't have a question.
Okay.
Jay Williams has a question.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't have a question, Paul, but I'd like to give Roberto a heads up on something.
Okay, could you do that after we... Okay, I'll put you on the stack. You know what? We'll put you on the stack, and we'll put you on there. And there was somebody else who wanted to be on the stack?
Jay Williams.
Yeah, this is Jim.
Jay Williams. Okay, W... Okay, anybody else? I have Jack DePalma, Neil Voss, M.K. Williams. Anybody else?
Jim Dingman.
Dingman? Okay. Anybody else want to be on the stack?
For the record, I'm at the station. I have to leave you by 8:30. I'm at the
well, we'll see how it goes. Anybody else for the stack? Okay, so we're going to start now. Jack DePalma, you're first. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's just a quick one. Bertel, you had mentioned that there was $5,000 for Miss Blonsdale tied up with the PayPal, or the had to pay her, that had to be cleared away. That's been cleared away, yes?
No, it's not for Miss Blonsdale. It's for a vendor.
Okay, but has it been cleared up?
No, not been cleared
up. I'm sorry. Okay.
We also lost $5,000 from the major donor. We did our best to reach out to them, and they're not getting back to us because Chase did not want to cash the check. It says WBAI.
Yeah. Thank you.
So so nobody's contacted you. Nobody from Pacifica has gone in there and fixed this.
No.
I guess not. Okay.
Well, they cannot fix anything except reaching out to the vendor and ask them to send a check to Pacific or to BI saying Pacific.
I'm not talking about the. I'm not talking about the. I mean about this situation we have where a big check won't clear through Chase because it says BAI. All right, so I gather this is still a problem. All right, the next person on the stack is Neil Voss. Go ahead.
Hi, Bertel. Listen, I have a problem with trying to make a donation to WBAI online. I was blocked from actually making a donation. I couldn't get past step two, which is to give WBAI the name of another party and their email. And so I didn't have an email, and I couldn't make a donation.
I would webmaster email you because I don't really know what you're talking about. You have to walk through it with him, and then he'll let you know what was the problem or what was not the problem. But we have
I'll contact Chris
Lapilusa. Chris Chris at WBI.org.
Okay.
We can, like, if you call them, or if you call the call center, there are recordings of the calls that we can replay back. But if you went online, then that Chris has to look into it.
All right. It was online. Yes.
Okay. The next person is M.K. Williams. Go ahead.
Oh, I just wanted. It seemed like Bertels was quoting from a written report. Where would that is that posted at on the WBAI website, or can I get a copy of that just so I can be accurate? I'm taking the minutes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. He sent this stuff to the mailing list, and I guess we better. Well, since we're at this particular moment, let me say. Why don't we get some more questions for Bertold going through, and then I will take a list of who wants to be on the mailing list, who isn't on the mailing list yet. Okay. Was that your whole thing right there?
Yeah, just how do I get a copy or can
right.
someone
okay, we'll deal with that in a couple of minutes. And Jim Dingman, you're next. Go ahead.
All right. Well, I was listening to Art Paul talk about the BMI issue and all that earlier, which is frankly an issue at the national level, and that's been the result of us not having CPB CSG grants for the past couple of years. It's a whole big can of worms. But I wanted to ask Bertold if he could just break down to this committee where's the composition of the revenue coming in from listeners at this point? In terms of shows, I mean, is there just a couple of shows making all the money, a couple of premium types making all the money? Is it changed at all? And what about what's being done to perhaps improve the performance of the other shows that generally do not contribute as much money to the overall effort?
I did send the report to the LSV on a regular basis. I mean, the bottom line is when it was broken down, When Gary Noll brings about 30% of the money, Nissen Blasius about 30%. Pony Bait and Miscellaneous brings about 15%. And yes, the Miscellaneous, because Pony Bait pitches with Corin Frenari, with Felipe Luciano, or by himself. So that's about 15%. You know, and Nimi, there's another 8%. So that's it. Just some prayers. That's like 83%. You know, and David Rothenberg is separate. He brings in about $5,000 a month or more as separate, that theater ticket. And, you know, we have a few other shows here and there that make money, but that's basically it. I might have forgotten a few here, but this is like 83%, 85% of the money that we make, that we bring in, you know. I'm looking for the report. I'm at the station, so I don't have a report.
Uh-huh. All right, thank you. Thank you.
All right, Bertold, it seems to me that your accounting is only for shows that bring in premiums, because that's all you ever say anybody brought in. But other shows are bringing in some money without premiums, but you don't count those, right?
Yeah, well, that's not in that report. There's a report that the BI buddies, and then there's a report on Allegiance, and the same report on Allegiance. You can Google it. You can sort it by favorite shows, and it gives you favorite. And I'm working on that one right now. Actually, it is the same report that you can break down by pledge by date. Or you can break it down by a pledge by premium for a month, or pledge by premium for the whole year, or pledge by date, or pledge by whatever. And then put the shows next to them. That same report is, you can also do that to find out how many people are giving in the name of their favorite show. You know.
Yeah. However, for the past year, more than a year, quite a while, we've only ever seen anything. When you've sent the LSB a list of shows and what they've made, it's been the shows with premiums. I know,
yeah.
Because my show doesn't appear on there, and I know for a fact there are people donating, so I think that happens to other people too. You're not showing what other radio programs raise, then you know, it kind of skews it a bit. I know you can find this out in Allegiance, but you're not printing it out. You're not sending out all of that information about donations.
Jim to the stack.
Does Bertold have something to say about that?
I won't say it's very minimal, but that represents less than 10% of the revenue that we're bringing in. So since I did not have a way to figure this out easily, we did not really focus on that. So the reports you're getting are reports you just click and drop down, and then you get your report.
Okay, so you're getting the easy reports out of Allegiance. And
yeah, we are doing a drill down. Yeah. We are doing a drill down.
All right. I think Jim Dingman had another thing he wanted to say.
Yeah. No. Well, this is precisely the kind of information we need at the national level that all the other stations refuse to supply. This level of information that Bertold's talking about. Because, yeah, I know. I mean, obviously, I know that a lot of the shows don't make any money. I mean, that's a fact, objective fact. And that the vast majority of the shows don't have money, people listening to them. So there's a correlation between that and the amount of money that come in as listener sponsors. And remember, when we had a fundraiser, Mr. Henley was going by, let's not use premiums for a whole variety of reasons, and then he essentially failed to raise I think he raised about 20-25% of the revenue that he was aiming for each day. But this kind of information is very important to make any kind of sensible decisions in terms of going forward and analyzing what we can actually do and where we need to work to improve the situation, frankly.
because, you know, this is long overdue. I've listened to these kind of arguments for 30 years, and, you know, frankly, I've had enough of it. You know, and this goes, and then you have when people in Los Angeles who are deliberately screwing the station up out there for whatever reasons they have. I mean, that's quite amazing what's going on out there. So, and we're not doing that here. So the issue of the money is very important. We need accurate data from Bertolt and from all the other managers at all the stations in order to make any kind of clear decisions. Thank you.
Okay. RPO, Jeffrey's here.
Who's this?
Jeffrey.
Devrin?
Jeffrey Stern.
Stern! Jeffrey Stern. Oh, hello, Jeffrey Stern. I'll mark you
I'm
here.
I had personal matters to take care of.
Okay. Since you're doing this at the second, let me ask, is Mario Mastrandrea here? No reply. Is Matt Mazza here? No reply. Okay, I'm just making sure. So, Jeffrey, you were just checking in to say you're here, right?
I'm sorry that I'm late.
Okay, I know you're late. Did you have a question for the general manager?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Jeffrey.
Serene for the staff, please.
Okay, Serene Roberts, go ahead.
Okay, so Berthel, my question's about the postings, the job postings, and the authorization to hire, both for, well, I shouldn't say both because now I have three questions, with regards to the replacement hire, the quote, replacement hire for Leonard Lopez, producer. Where was that? Where and when was that job posted? And when was the authorization granted, which is required even for replacement hires, because we've been in the hiring freeze for a number of years at Pacifica. Same for the strip, the what's going on strip. Same for the expansion of Hannah's position. I don't know what title. I know she's a contractor, but I don't know under what title and how the duties are expanding. I understand she's now editing podcasts. And my question is with regard to the podcasting contracts that I understand unpaid producers are being asked to sign. When did the PNB authorize that? Thanks.
Can you repeat the question again? Multifaceted here.
You want me to repeat which one?
Everything.
Oh, you want them one at a time then? Is that what you're saying?
No, you can just repeat the whole thing.
Okay, so it's all about hiring and authorizations. Where was the job posting? And when was the authorization granted for the hire of a replacement producer for Leonard Lopate for Hannah's expanding position and the initial one for which she was being paid? Because initially we were told she was, quote, an intern. And I think most people assumed that was unpaid. And for the what's going on paid strip, where was the posting? How were those selections made? Where was the authorization? I think those are my three questions. I don't know. Don't ask me to repeat it another time. Thanks.
Well, I'll get back to you on those. But basically, Johanna was getting paid, and then she got sick, and so we replaced her. So that was part of it. You know, I don't feel that I need to go get special authorization to fill out empty spots.
I don't think that's the tone you want to take with the PNB. There's a hiring freeze. Both the National Finance Committee Chair and the National Finance Committee Treasurer are members of the WBAI local station board and are fully aware of the hiring freeze. So those motions from other stations, which are flush sometimes, have had to come through the PNB. So I don't think that in our fiscal position, you want to say to the PNB that you don't think you have to ask them for permission. I don't think that's a good approach.
I believe it's up to the executive director. And I mean, my discussion with Lydia, led me to understand that I could do that.
Let me point out that the chair of the PNB is no longer a delegate at WBAI. So, a little correction for that. The treasurer is.
I was speaking about you and Jim Shadigan.
No, you were talking about the chair of the PNB. And it used to be somebody from BAI, but it's not anymore.
The finance committee chair and finance committee secretary.
Oh, okay.
That's you and Jim Shadigan.
Yes, it is. Anyway, all right. So, Bertold, what you're not gonna, you're saying you'll get back to her, or are you saying you're not gonna say what? Please clarify.
I'll get back. But Lydia, I spoke to Lydia, and then it was fine. But I just
speak to Ms. Wells.
Well, she's that before her time.
She's there now.
Yeah.
Well, things get interesting. All right. Are there any further questions or anything for the general manager on his report?
Sorry, Kay Williams again. Lydia? You said you had a discussion with Lydia to fill an empty spot. Who is Lydia? What's her last name? Just for the note.
It's an executive director who's no longer there.
Okay.
She's Lydia Brazon, and she's no longer the interim executive director.
Of Pacifica.
Of Pacifica.
Okay.
Okay,
and you'll get back to me about the job postings, Berthel?
Yeah.
I understand you're saying Lydia authorized all of these, but you'll get back to me about the postings, which are a local issue. Okay, thanks.
Okay. Any further questions or anything for the general manager?
Just to clarify, though, the who's doing the job right now is a black woman who has been was very active.
Point of order. Point of order.
What's the point of order?
I don't think the race of the person is relevant at all. That's not the issue. The issue is the process.
I was just talking. That's not a point of order. I'm just describing who.
You're
is
the
in
general
there.
Manager on a public call. You don't quote. Just talk.
Okay, Bertold, go ahead and complete what you were saying. You already said some of it. You don't have to repeat that again, but complete what you were saying.
Who has been news director at WHCR, and it was highly recommended by WHCR general manager. WHCR, the secretary, is the radio station in Harlem, where WBAI resided for 2 years after Hurricane Sandy because we didn't have a studio.
Okay, so you're saying that you've hired somebody from CCNY's WHGR?
Yes.
Who's that?
Kezia Glow.
Say that again, please.
K-A-Z-I-H Glow, G-L-O-W.
Okay. Anyway, okay, so...
She did panelists, and then she's the one who passed.
Oh, there was this job search and stuff?
Well, there were three finalists.
You didn't post the job.
I'm wondering where the posting
Stop
was.
Stop putting your foot in your mouth. Save yourself. Stop talking.
Point of order.
Yeah, point of order.
Point of order.
The last speaker is recognized.
Okay, we got more than one person talking. Who made the point of order?
I made one.
Sagerton, go ahead. Yes, what's your point of order?
Yeah, the past speaker is disparaging. Her tone of voice is objectionable, and she is speaking without being recognized. She's upbraiding the general manager. It's not appropriate.
Let's not get into any of this stuff, all right? And, I tone of voice, I don't know. I think it is valid for somebody to ask if a job was posted as per requirements by Pacifica and things like the EEOC. So I think a question is valid, and I think we may be running out of time.
Point of order?
Okay, I think I hear a beep. Jack DePalma, is that your beep? Are we out of time?
Yeah, your time's up. Your half hour, general manager's report, time's up.
Okay.
I'm just...
So, time has been called.
Argument here.
Time has been called. Does anybody want to extend this or anything? Hearing nobody extending it, the next item is set next meeting date. And we have 5 minutes for this. So I make it 2029, Mr. Timekeeper. So here we are, and we're going to set the next meeting date. And I'm going to move that we meet on March 16th.
Second.
Okay, so I move that we meet next on March 16th, that's a Wednesday, at 7 p.m. on the teleconference here. Okay, any debate on that? Hearing none, is there any objection to going to a vote on that? Hearing none, is there any objection to the motion to meet next on March 16th at 7 o'clock on this? Hearing none. It's passed without objection. Okay.